Welcome, everyone, to the Farm CPA podcast presented by Top Producer. I'm Paul Niefer, your host. Today, I'm actually going to review the responsibility funding our priorities. I'm going to call it a white paper that came out from the Democratic Congress on Monday, September 13th. And this is essentially indicating what type of tax policy Congress will be trying to implement in order to come up with enough money to fund their social policy, the $3.5 trillion program, or whatever it ultimately ends up being. First, we're going to go through what is not in the white paper. And it's very good news for all of our farmers out there. There is nothing in there about any type of transfer tax, typically what has been referred to commonly as eliminating the step-up in basis, which was really inaccurate. It was really a transfer tax to maintain step-up in basis. The good news is there is no provision in this document related to that, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. What I'm going to do is go through the various sections that I think apply to most of our farmers out there and just give you an overview of what the section calls for and how I think it may affect our farmers. First, there is going to be an increase in the corporate tax rate. However, for many of our farmers, it's actually going to be a reduction in the tax rate. The first $400,000 of corporate taxable income will be taxed at 18%. And then the next $4.6 million, so once you get up to $5 million, it's at the current 21% rate. And then if you go over $5 million, it's at 26.5% thereafter. So I think for a lot of our farmers out there, it's going to actually be pretty good news in that they're going to have quite a bit of their income that's going to be taxed at 18% instead of 21%. Then over on the individual side, they are going to increase the top tax rate to 39.6%. That's if you're a married couple over $450,000 of taxable income. Single, that would apply at $400,000. So that's shrinking. That's bringing that down to a much lower level. The current level where that top rate kicks in is maybe $100,000, $150,000 higher than that. On the capital gain side, we know that President Biden wanted to increase that up to 39.6%. Reality would have been 43.4%. But the top rate is now going to be 25%. Actually, incorporating the net investment income tax, it's 28.8%. But that's certainly a whole lot better than the original plan of being at that 43.4% rate. And then it also it sounds like this is going to be, it'll be applicable for gains after the date of enactment. So before the date, it would be 20%. After, it might be 25%. But again, those details would be fleshed out. As we indicated in previous discussions, there will be the applicability of the 3.8% net investment income tax. That became about because of Obamacare, essentially back in, it's about 10 years ago now. It started in 2013 when the tax was applied. It originally was on investment income. You know, the Democrats are trying to raise revenues, so they're saying, well, we don't want to call it just investment income. We want to call it business income. So what will happen is if your either adjusted gross income or taxable income, yes, it refers to taxable income of $500,000 for a joint filer. That almost becomes a circular. Well, no, it wouldn't be a circular calculation, but it could be close. But if your taxable income is over $500,000, you're essentially going to have an extra 3.8% tax applied on your farm income. All your gains related to trade-ins, all of your regular farm income is now going to be subject to that extra 3.8% tax. So if you're above those rates, effectively, you're going to be in a 43.4% tax rate. So that's something that's not good. We knew it was coming, but that's not good. Before I go on to the next section, the one thing that also is not in here that's actually good is they are not applying the 12.4% FICA tax on income over $400,000. We have heard because of the Byrd rule, that's sort of how they do reconciliation to get this through Congress. Because of the Byrd rule, they can't really effectively change Social Security taxes. So that's off the table, but they can instead use net investment income tax rules to get at least 3.8% extra income, so to speak, or extra tax. The Section 199A deduction, they're changing that. We heard originally that under Senator Wyden's proposal that they would make it simpler, but once your income went over $500,000, you would get no deduction. Well, now they've changed it. And what they have indicated, the maximum deduction for a joint return would now be $500,000, $400,000 for an individual return, $250,000 for a married individual filing a separate return, and then $10,000 for a trust or an estate. This would be effective in 2022. Now, the devil's in the details. For a lot of farmers get a large, especially dairy farmers, get a large DPAD deduction from a cooperative. You know, does that mean it's going to be limited to $500,000? That appears to be what the rule is. Originally, Wyden's would not affect the DPAD coming from a co-op, but this appears to affect that. So we'll see. Again, this is just a couple sentences in a paragraph, no real details. They're going to make permanent the excess business loss rules. That means you can only offset $500,000 of losses against business losses against interest, dividends, wages, capital gains, et cetera. We knew that was coming. California had already made it permanent, so that was not a shock to us. And then also, if your income is over $5 million, which probably doesn't apply to too many farmers out there, but it could, then there's an extra 3.3% surtax. So effectively, your maximum tax rate at the federal level is now about 46% and change. And then by the time you factor in state income taxes such as California, you're effectively at a 60% tax rate. Also, there's no discussion in the plan about eliminating the state and local tax limitation right now at $10,000. So at least through 2025, that means in those high income states, if you have taxable income over $5 million, you will be paying at least 55 to almost 60% between federal and state income taxes. Now, one thing that's very favorable, well, first, let's go through what's not so favorable. We know that the Tax Reform Act or tax reform from 2017 increased the lifetime estate and gift tax exemption from $5 million indexed to inflation to $10 million indexed to inflation, but that was going to expire after 2025. Well, this proposal says it's going to expire at the end of this year. So if you are thinking about doing some good-sized gifts, you may want to consider doing that. However, the next provision may then make you not want to make the gifts. So that's what we'll go through. They are increasing the deduction for estate tax purposes on farmland transfers and farm assets. There's a special section called 2032 Cap A, capital A, that currently allows you to take a deduction of about 1.2 million, if my memory's right, it's indexed to inflation. They're actually doing a dramatic increase on that, all the way up to 11.7 million. So that means if your taxable estate is primarily farm assets, and let's say, you know, because the exemption now is only $6 million plus or minus per person. So a farm couple could be worth slightly more than $12 million and start owing some estate tax. Well, with this provision, if most of your assets are farm assets, that means you could be another $25 million. So you're looking at almost $40 million of net assets at the farm level that would be escape estate taxation. Now, the issue is that means it truly does have to be in the family. It has to be farmed for 10 years. It can't be cash rented. It can't go to cousins and so on and so forth. So on the face of this sounds great, but unless they expand 2032A to be a little bit more liberal as to who is family and sort of curtail some of the draconian rules, because if you screw it up in year 10, you then have to go back and pay the tax plus interest. So it sounds great on the face of it, but again, the devil will be in the details. Also, Congress, or at least the Democrats in Congress and the president, really don't like grantor trusts. where you effectively are in control of the assets, but you've gotten it out of your estate. So they are going to restrict the use of what we call an intentionally defective grantor trust, could restrict the use of what we call spousal lifetime access trust, the SLATs, so the IDGETs and the SLATs. Also, if you end up selling any type of an asset to an IDGET, under current law, that sale is tax-free. It's as if it didn't happen. This would now make a taxable event. So that's going to curtail the use of of those type of trusts. Now, other trusts are probably going to arise that will take their place. They always do. So that's something to be aware of. And then there are, we thought that they were wanting to eliminate the discounts for transfers of like S-corps and C-corps and partnerships to the next generation. But it really says the valuation rules for certain transfers and non-business assets. So you have a partnership that owns a bunch of Google stock or Microsoft stock. You know, historically, you've been able to take some discounts on those type of transfers. They'd want to eliminate that ability. But it doesn't really appear, at least based on my reading, the initial reading of this document, that they would curtail the discounts that are, you know, that are valid for the transfer of family farms. So that's something that would be very, very good. So I'm going to say overall, if I was to give this a grade of, you know, an A through an F, for the typical family farm, I'd probably say it's a B minus. It could be much worse. You know, the items that are not in the plan, at least currently, there's no restrictions on step up and basis. That's still going to be there. Now, what we have to realize that if you do take advantage of 2032A, where that $11.7 million reduction, that reduces step up and basis. So that is a trade-off. You're not getting step up, but you're not paying the estate tax. They also are not appear to be not increasing the estate tax rate. It'd still be at the current 40%. At least that change was not in the document. But no restrictions on 1031 exchanges. We still have full step up in basis. No changes to self-employment tax other than all of your net income from farm S corporations, farm limited liability companies, taxes, a partnership or an S corp. If your taxable income is over that $400,000 or $500,000 level, we'll be subject to the extra 3.8% net investment income tax. So I think the bottom line is, as I said, I would give this a grade of a B minus. It could have been much worse. And again, we have to be careful. This is just a proposal, but this appears to be what they're really keying in on. They're trying to get this pushed through here in the next week or two. So there's a good chance a lot of this will go through. And the items that are not on the list likely are sort of what we call dead on arrival. So that would be good news for most of our farmers out there. So again, this is Paul Niefer with a special session of the Farm CPA podcast presented by Top Producer Magazine. Thanks.